from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more Hit and Run with Mike Esposito on 670 The Score.
Having lots of fun talking baseball with you this morning. Leading you up to Cubs baseball this afternoon. The Cubs-Brewers series will continue from Milwaukee. Pregame coverage coming up very soon, 12:35 with Zach's pregame. First pitch with Pat and Ron at 1:10 here on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Cubs and Brewers, a big game for the Cubs as they try to win the series, down 10.5 in the division to the Brewers. Now, we were talking trade deadline stuff during our last segment. We were talking about the White Sox and the biggest trade chip on the market, which is Garrett Crochet, their starting pitcher, who will go today for the Sox against Colorado. Garrett was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Get your phone out to capture this moment. Who's going to win round one? It's Crochet. Strike three looking. Crochet has won all three battles tonight against Ohtani.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, talking baseball till 11 o'clock right here on The Score. Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline is the home of the world's largest sports book and the White Sox ace, who you just heard. Thank you, NBC Sports Chicago. A highlight from earlier in the week, the Ohtani stopper. Garrett Crochet, welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you all for having me on.
Let's go back there because it was quite a matchup everyone was waiting to see. You seem to have Ohtani's number. You look at the career numbers, and they're very good. I think he struck out against you four times or so. What's the secret about getting Ohtani out? You've got it, and everybody else wants it.
I think that you pitch to him like you would pitch anybody else. You know, that's kind of how I try and be out there on the mound. I try not to really look at the name too much, and I just see lefty and righty. Obviously, with him, you know, you got to be a little bit more careful because he's hitting for average and for power. But as long as I attack my strengths and execute my pitches, I feel very confident.
Garrett, thanks for joining us, and I just want to take some people into your pitching mentality because, you know, I always talk to you after starts, and I talk to you about things that I like that maybe, you know, you don't focus on too much, but the mentality I brought up, you know, a couple starts ago, you pitched six innings, gave up three runs, and I said, you know, I know you're not happy with this, but you know, that's a quality start. And you said to me, that's not a quality start. A quality start may be two or three runs at eight innings. So talk about what your expectations are of you as a major league pitcher.
I guess it kind of depends with how my stuff is that day. For instance, I believe you're talking about the Astros game. And that day going into the game, I felt like my stuff was really sharp. So to kind of get hit around the way that I did, I felt like I didn't execute my plan. Or I executed my plan, but I didn't really execute and perform the way that I had intended to. So I think that was why I was kind of leaning towards the emotional side and not feeling like it was a quality start. Anytime that you're giving your team a chance to win, though, I feel like that's kind of what I would define as success. This past one against the Dodgers, you know, I felt really good coming out of that one. Would have liked to get through six, but that's kind of just the cost of doing business when you're getting deep in counts early in the game.
Garrett, you have been dominant this year, and you have embraced the role of a starting pitcher like everybody hoped that you would, and here you are midseason. The Sox say they have a plan for you in the second half in terms of limiting pitches and innings, and I know you have to talk about it a lot, but I think everybody's curious. What role will you have in how often you pitch, how deep into games you go, and what is your mindset as the second half approaches?
For me, I'm still pitching as if I'm not being limited. I've been feeling really good, going about my routine the same way I have all season, and the recovery is still in a really good spot. I understand the worry with not having thrown as many innings as I'm at right now. I'm almost double my career high, and I probably will be by the time the All-Star break rolls around. But, you know, I just got to keep taking the ball every time I'm asked to, and whenever they take it out of my hand, then I'm done with it. Just really giving the team the best shot that I can while I'm in the game.
Paul, you know, as myself and other reporters walk through the clubhouse every day and after games as well, beforehand and after, you know, the conversation comes up with a month left to the trading deadline about things that are out of your control and out of your teammates' control, and that is that the White Sox are going to make deals. They're going to make deals for the future and where this team needs to go. How do you put that out of your mind and block what you can't control to make sure that the negative part of that doesn't permeate?
I think it's impossible to fully put it out of your mind when you're not playing. When I'm playing, you know, and in my day-to-day routine, when I'm actually working out and stuff, it's pretty easy. But in the downtime is when it gets tough. And, you know, it's kind of just something that I say to myself, knowing that it's not in my control and that at the end of the day, whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. You know, that's all it really comes down to for me. Yeah.
Garrett, you look at your numbers, and fans often do, and it's amazing. You have 130 strikeouts in 94 innings, and you look at some of the other metrics that measure the kind of success, and you don't need to look at those when you just watch how overpowering you've been at times. So obviously the All-Star conversation comes up, and obviously your name is at the top of the list of Sox players that belong there. How important is an All-Star appearance to you?
I wouldn't say it's important. It's not really like wasn't high on my list coming into the year. It was more so getting through the year healthy. But if that's the cherry on top, that'd be pretty sweet. It's a big honor to have that sort of respect from your peers. And I believe that the pitchers are all player voted. So I just think that's really cool, really humbling.
Garrett Crochet joining us in Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. He's David Hall and Bruce Levine. We talk baseball 52 weeks out of the year here on The Score on Saturday mornings. Garrett, the amazing thing to me is, you know, and I've covered clubhouses for many years in baseball in Chicago, is how tight you guys are as a group, okay? And how much you like each other, how much you stay together during what most of the time is losing games. How does that happen? Where does that leadership come from? You know, to me, that is the best part of the story for the 2024 Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, well, first off, it sucks that that's the best part of our team right now. But it's kind of something that I think that guys felt when we were in spring training. Going into the season, we felt very confident with the players and personnel that had reported to camp. And I think that it made it very natural for us to kind of form those relationships early. Everyone that we brought in was at a very similar spot in their career, whether it be trying to invent themselves or finally healthy. So there was a lot of relatability amongst the board. And I think that when you get a group of guys like that are hungry, you know, it's very easy to bond. That's just kind of been the name of the game for us, especially with kind of the tough stretch that we've had, I guess the tough season that we've had, is it could go one of two ways. You know, we could really divide up or we could continue to grow closer together. And that's the only way that you're going to make it through the whole season. That's the only way that you're going to make it through a whole career is really loving your teammates and just getting to have that safe space in the clubhouse.
Garrett, it seems like you've been here a long time, and then you look, boy, you just turned 25. Happy belated birthday, by the way. And
you look
at the other young pitchers, a guy like Drew Thorpe last night who was really dealing. Jonathan Cannon goes today. He's had his moments. And you wonder, are those guys who aren't that much different in age than you, but do they look up to you? Does your experience help them maybe develop or mature at a better rate because of what you have been through and what they can learn from?
Whether they do or not, I don't know. You'd have to ask them that behind closed doors. But, you know, I like to think that I can take on that leadership role at times. It's definitely something that comes natural. I don't want to force it because, like you said, I know that we're very similar in age. They know that. So it's not like I want to have this I don't really want to posture it up to be that way. I really just kind of want to be a good teammate to them, and if they got questions, answer them, and kind of just be there and lead by example in a way. You know, if there's any doubt in their mind, you know, they could be able to look at me and see what I'm doing and know that that's what they can follow.
You know, it's been fun getting to know you over the last few years, and especially, you know, our conversations that we have before games sometimes. The one thing that sticks out to me the most is that whether you're playing ping pong or you're having a conversation with somebody or you're on the mound against the best teams in baseball, you expect to be great. Where does that come from inside of you? Where does that competitive, where do those juices flow from? Because not everybody really has that, but it appears to me you do.
To be honest, I'm not really sure where it comes from. I think that growing up with an older brother, we always had that sort of competition in the household. But beyond that, I think that that's just who I am. You know, I've always, in everything that I've done, I've always felt that way. If you're going to do something, be the best at it. And, you know, I've liked to do many things throughout my life, and I've always tried to be the best at everything. So I think that I found my sweet spot here with baseball. It's definitely not with ping pong, I'll tell you that much, but I'm going to keep trying.
So, Garrett, before we let you go, I have to let you take a victory lap a little bit. Your alma mater celebrated the College World Series championship, Tennessee, the other night, and you got a chance to see some of it during a rain delay. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Good program. Baseball school now.
Yeah. They've kind of been an all sports school here lately. You know, the basketball team's been pretty good, but I'd like to say congrats to Tony Vitello and the staff. You know, what they did this year was remarkable. A lot of those players, you know, early on in their careers were kind of just starting to develop, and they really got a good staff over there. Coach Elander's been incredible at developing hitters. You know, Coach Anderson does the same thing for the pitchers, and they really put it all together. I think it was the first team in SEC history to get the 60 wins. So it was a really huge season for them. Couldn't be happier.
That's Garrett Crochet. He was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with Bruce Levine and David Haw, and if you missed it earlier, and or if you're just joining us, just flipping on the radio looking for the Cub game, you will have Zach's pregame at 12:35. But this from Bob Nightingale of USA Today in today's newspaper: the White Sox quietly engaged in brief contract extension talks with Garrett Crochet, but with no optimism towards reaching an agreement. The White Sox intend to trade him by the July 30th deadline. Crochet addressed that talking to the guys yesterday. Apparently 15 teams have inquired about Crochet. He makes only $800,000 this year. He is under team control through 2026. So the rest of this year and the next two. That's a huge thing for big market contending teams to get a guy like Crochet under team control. And hence, Chris Getz is expecting a King's ransom. He is asking for it. He will likely get it. The key, and Nightingale references that, the White Sox and Crochet already have a firm plan in place to greatly limit his workload in the second half. It is quite possible that a team acquiring Crochet may have to offer a contract extension for him to lift those innings restrictions in the second half because of the potential injury risk. So lots of moving parts there. Lots of interesting possibilities there for Garrett Crochet and for the Chicago White Sox. But that was Garrett on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with Bruce and David. Let's make time here for one of our longtime callers and one of our guys. We appreciate him checking in. Stan in Bellwood. Hey, Stan, you're on Hit and Run. How's it going?
Oh, it's going fine. How you doing today, Mike? I'm enjoying the show. You sound great.
Great. Thank you very much, Stan. Appreciate it. Everything's good.
All right. And uh, I, uh, I have two things that I wanted to run by you here. One about the Cubs and the other about the Garrett Crochet situation. As far as the Cubs, they've got a big problem here. And as stupid as it sounds, their best chance of making the playoffs, such as it is to concentrate on the Central and winning the division. Because if you're operating under the premise, as far as the wild card chase goes, and I am, that the Braves and the Padres are pretty much locked in here. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the Braves right now have a golden opportunity here. The Phillies are going to be playing the next couple weeks without both Schwarber and Bryce Harper in the lineup.
Right.
So they're still in the division race there, which, you know, if they did really get hot and overtook the Phillies would fall back into the wild card chase. So I think the top two spots in the National League for the wild card are pretty much locked in. So that just leaves you with that one last spot. And there's the Cubs are in eighth place there. I mean, they're only four back for that third spot, but there's 7 teams ahead of them. So they might as well be 24 games back because all of those teams are not going to collapse. So I don't even consider the Cubs to be in the wild card chase. They need to figure out a way of getting back into the division hunt. So they got a big problem, and I think they're pretty much toast this year.
Yes, Dan.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, let me make my Cubs comment, and then I'll let you make your Crochet comment. I agree. I think you have four lock playoff teams in the National League: LA, San Diego, Philly, Atlanta. Those teams are the best teams in the league, if you're asking me, in the National League, for sure. I like the Brewers. They've done nice things, but I'm with you. I mean, and in theory, right, the Cubs as the big market team would be the team dominating in the Central. It has not worked out that way thus far.
And you're not, if you're in eighth place, you're not in the race.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They got work to do.
That's right. Okay, now, Garrett Crochet, in a perfect world, I would love to keep Garrett Crochet and not even consider trading him. But there are a couple of factors here that a lot of fans just, you know, are not facing. In the first place, we've been in this position before. The White Sox have already established a precedent. They've traded Chris Sale and Dylan Cease in the recent past. So I'm actually not afraid of trading Garrett Crochet. As a matter of fact, I have expected. I just hope that they get more than they got for Crochet than they got for Dylan Cease. I'm one of the few people, that call in about the White Sox that believes that they didn't get nearly enough for Dylan Cease. But I think they're going to trade him because there's a going rate for top of the rotation starters that perform at the level that Garrett Crochet is performing this year, which is a price that Jerry Reinsdorf, he's already demonstrated, he will resist that like the plague. He'll throw himself in front of a speeding train rather than give a 5 or 6 year contract at about, you know, $20-25 million per two. And at this point, Garrett Crochet would be a fool to sign for anything less. So I think I agree with you. I think the White Sox are going to trade Garrett Crochet, and we might as well plan for it. And I just hope that they get more than they get for Dylan Cease for him.
All right, Stan. Well, hey, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it as always. And I think you make some excellent points. And listen, to what Stan was just saying, the Nightingale piece says that the Sox are, Getz is asking for Earth, Sun, Moon, and Stars for Garrett Crochet. He's under control for this year, the rest of this year, at $800K for the season. So whatever that is, $400K left on it for this year. And then the next two seasons. And, the Nightingale piece also mentions that the team that acquires him possibly might have to extend him. However it works out, they have, whether they stumbled into it or not, I mean, you remember Crochet was
a bullpen piece, and then all of a sudden he was the opening day starter, and people were surprised. Whatever. It has worked out wonderfully for the White Sox, so this would be a haul, and we appreciate Stan, as always. Thank you for the call. We have one more segment left. We will get to some final things here, lineups, as we get ready for Cubs and Brewers here. Crochet is actually pitching against the Rockies for the White Sox. That game starts shortly as well. One more segment before Cubs baseball. This is Hit and Run. It's Espo in for Spiegs. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Hey, bada, 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 so we bada. Hey, bada, 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 so we bada. Kennedy, 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 so we bada.
On 670 The Score.
Movie line still done today. Many times. Hey, bada, 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 so we bada. Last segment here on Hit and Run, Espo in for Spiegs, and we have a Cubs lineup for you, my friends, as the Cubs get ready to take on the Brewers. 12:35 for Zach's pregame, 1:10 for first pitch here on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. The series finale, the rubber match, Kyle Hendricks and Freddy Peralta. So you've got a nice pitching matchup. Nico leading off playing second. Michael Bush will bat second playing first. Belly is your DH today. Saya in right, Happ in left, Morel at third. Dansby at short. Pete Crow Armstrong will bat eighth again, playing in center. And your catcher for the Cubs today is Miguel Amaya. For Milwaukee, Terang, Contreras, Yelich, no surprise there. Adamas, Bowers, Reese Hoskins, Frelick, Churio, and Monasterio. So that is how the Cubs and Brewers will line up. The White Sox send Garrett Crochet, the subject of much of our show this morning, 6-6, but forget about the record, 130 strikeouts, 3.05 ERA. He will oppose Kyle Freeland for the Rockies. Freeland 0-3, 9.55 in the White Sox lineup. I won't bother giving you Colorado's because you won't know any of the players except Charlie Blackmon anyway. So the White Sox lineup, Tommy Pham in right, Vaughn at first, Luis Robert in center. Eloy is your DH, DeJong at short, Jolks in left, Sosa, Mendick, and Martin Maldonado rounded out. The average check for Martin Maldonado, 0.085.
Tough. That's tough.
It's a tough one. He's above 83, which he was last time, which I enjoyed for score drop reasons, but at last check, he is currently, so we'll see how today plays out. Hey, a 1-for-3 day or a 1-for-4 day, he could propel him closer to 100. So that's something as we sit here on the last day of June here in the baseball season, almost half over. He is batting 085.
Yeah, man, that's tough. It's Bud Black's birthday, apparently. Maybe he can ruin Bud Black's birthday and maybe get above the Mendoza line.
There you go. Maybe Garrett Crochet can ruin Bud Black's birthday.
That one's probably more likely.
Yes, more likely. But you look at it, hey, and we talked to Ryan McGuffey earlier in the program, the Sox looking for their fourth straight win. That has not happened, I believe, this year. Or has it happened? No, maybe it has.
It has not.
Okay, well, there it is.
There
so
it
this
is,
would be the high watermark win streak for the Sox. If they could win today, that would be four in a row. And let's see if Garrett Crochet, hey, it's as good a chance to happen today with Garrett Crochet pitching as it ever is with anyone else on the staff. So we'll see if the Sox can get things done. This has been a ton of fun filling in for Spiegs here on Hit and Run. Lots of people to thank for the show today, most especially Sean Sears. Awesome job, as always, my friend. Thank you. Great job producing the show. I just mentioned Ryan McGuffey, our first guest from NBC Sports Chicago. We talked Sox with Guff. We talked Cubs with Alex Cohen, the play-by-play man from the Iowa Cubs. We talked Cubs and Brewers with Sparky Pfeiffer from 1250 The Fan up in Milwaukee. We talked to you. We appreciate your calls and your texts today. And we look forward to the series finale. Cubs and Brewers today coming right up. Zach's pregame right after this break at 12:35. Pat and Ron with the first pitch at 1:10 here on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. I'm Mike Esposito. It's been a pleasure talking baseball with you this morning and into this afternoon. Spiegs will be back next week. We appreciate the opportunity to sit in here. And again, Cubs Brewers coming up next. This has been Hit and Run here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more Hit and Run with Mike Esposito on 670 The Score.
Having lots of fun talking baseball with you this morning. Leading you up to Cubs baseball this afternoon, the Cubs Brewers series will continue from Milwaukee. Pregame coverage coming up very soon, 12:35 with Zach's pregame. First pitch with Pat and Ron at 1:10 here on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Cubs and Brewers, a big game for the Cubs as they try to win the series, down 10.5 in the division to the Brewers. Now, we were talking trade deadline stuff during our last segment. We were talking about the White Sox and the biggest trade chip on the market, which is Garrett Crochet, their starting pitcher, who will go today for the Sox against Colorado. Garrett was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Get your phone out to capture this moment. Who's going to win round one? It's Crochet. Strike three looking. Crochet has won all three battles tonight against Ohtani.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine talking baseball till 11 o'clock right here on The Score. Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline is that's the home of the world's largest sports book and the White Sox ace, who you just heard. Thank you, NBC Sports Chicago. A highlight from earlier in the week, the Ohtani stopper. Garrett Crochet, welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you all for having me on.
Let's go back there because it was quite a matchup everyone was waiting to see. You seem to have Ohtani's number. You look at the career numbers, and they're very good. I think he struck out against you four times or so. What's the secret about getting Ohtani out? You've got it, and everybody else wants it.
I think that you pitch to him like you would pitch anybody else. You know, that's kind of how I try and be out there on the mound. I try not to really look at the name too much, and I just see lefty and righty. Obviously, with him, you know, you got to be a little bit more careful because he's hitting for average and for power. But as long as I attack my strengths and execute my pitches, I feel very confident.
Garrett, thanks for joining us. And I just want to take some people into your pitching mentality because, you know, I always talk to you after starts, and I talk to you about things that I like that maybe, you know, you don't focus on too much. But the mentality I brought up, you know, a couple starts ago, you pitched six innings, gave up three runs, and I said, you know, I know you're not happy with this, but, you know, that's a quality start. And you said to me, that's not a quality start. A quality start may be two or three runs at eight innings. So talk about what your expectations are of you as a major league pitcher.
I guess it kind of depends with how my stuff is that day. For instance, I believe you're talking about the Astros game. And that day going into the game, I felt like my stuff was really sharp. So to kind of get hit around the way that I did, I felt like I didn't execute my plan. Or I executed my plan, but I didn't really execute and perform the way that I had intended to. So I think that was why I was kind of leaning towards the emotional side and not feeling like it was a quality start. Anytime that you're giving your team a chance to win, though, I feel like that's kind of what I would define as success. This past one against the Dodgers, you know, I felt really good coming out of that one. Would have liked to get through six, but that's kind of just the cost of doing business when you're getting deep in counts early in the game.
Garrett, you have been dominant this year, and you have embraced the role of a starting pitcher like everybody hoped that you would, and here you are midseason. The Sox say they have a plan for you in the second half in terms of limiting pitches and innings, and I know you have to talk about it a lot, but I think everybody's curious. What role will you have in how often you pitch, how deep into games you go, and what is your mindset as the second half approaches?
For me, I'm still pitching as if I'm not being limited. I've been feeling really good, going about my routine the same way I have all season, and the recovery is still in a really good spot. I understand the worry with not having thrown as many innings as I'm at right now. I'm almost double my career high, and I probably will be by the time the All-Star break rolls around. But, you know, I just got to keep taking the ball every time I'm asked to, and whenever they take it out of my hand, then I'm done with it. Just really giving the team the best shot that I can while I'm in the game.
You know, as myself and other reporters walk through the clubhouse every day and after games as well, beforehand and after, you know, the conversation comes up with a month left to the trading deadline about things that are out of your control and out of your teammates' control, and that is that the White Sox are going to make deals. They're going to make deals for the future and where this team needs to go. How do you put that out of your mind and block what you can't control to make sure that the negative part of that doesn't permeate?
I think it's impossible to fully put it out of your mind when you're not playing. When I'm playing, you know, and in my day-to-day routine, when I'm actually working out and stuff, it's pretty easy. But in the downtime is when it gets tough. And, you know, it's kind of just something that I say to myself, knowing that it's not in my control and that at the end of the day, whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. You know, that's all it really comes down to for me. Yeah.
Garrett, you look at your numbers, and fans often do, and it's amazing. You have 130 strikeouts in 94 innings, and you look at some of the other metrics that measure the kind of success, and you don't need to look at those when you just watch how overpowering you've been at times. So obviously the All-Star conversation comes up, and obviously your name is at the top of the list of Sox players that belong there. How important is an All-Star appearance to you?
I wouldn't say it's important. It's not really like wasn't high on my list coming into the year. It was more so getting through the year healthy. But if that's the cherry on top, that'd be pretty sweet. It's a big honor to have that sort of respect from your peers. And I believe that the pitchers are all player voted. So I just think that's really cool, really humbling.
Garrett Crochet joining us in Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. He's David Hall and Bruce Levine. We talk baseball 52 weeks out of the year here on The Score on Saturday mornings. Garrett, the amazing thing to me is, you know, and I've covered clubhouses for many years in baseball in Chicago, is how tight you guys are as a group, okay? And how much you like each other, how much you stay together during what most of the time is losing games. How does that happen? Where does that leadership come from? You know, to me, that is the best part of the story for the 2024 Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, well, it sucks that that's the best part of the best part of our team right now, but it's kind of something that I think that guys felt when we were in spring training. Going into the season, we felt very confident with the players and personnel that had reported to camp, and I think that it made it very natural for us to kind of form those relationships early. Everyone that we brought in was at a very similar spot in their career, whether it be trying to invent themselves or finally healthy, so there was a lot of relatability amongst the board. And I think that when you get a group of guys like that are hungry, you know, it's very easy to bond. That's just kind of been the name of the game for us, especially with kind of the tough stretch that we've had, I guess the tough season that we've had, is it could go one of two ways. You know, we could really divide up or we continue to grow closer together. And that's the only way that you're going to make it through the whole season. That's the only way that you're going to make it through a whole career is really loving your teammates and just getting to have that safe space in the clubhouse.
Garrett, it seems like you've been here a long time, and then you look, boy, you just turned 25. Happy belated birthday, by the way. And
you look
at the other young pitchers, a guy like Drew Thorpe last night, who was really dealing. Jonathan Cannon goes today. He's had his moments. And you wonder, are those guys who aren't that much different in age than you, but do they look up to you? Does your experience help them maybe develop or mature at a better rate because of what you have been through and what they can learn from?
Whether they do or not, I don't know. You'd have to ask them that behind closed doors. But, you know, I like to think that I can take on that leadership role at times. It's definitely something that comes natural. I don't want to force it because, like you said, I know that we're very similar in age. They know that. So it's not like I want to have this I don't really want to posture it up to be that way. I really just kind of want to be a good teammate to them, and if they got questions, answer them, and kind of just be there and lead by example in a way. You know, if there's any doubt in their mind, you know, they could be able to look at me and see what I'm doing and know that's what they can follow.
It's been fun getting to know you over the last few years, and especially our conversations that we have before games. Sometimes the one thing that sticks out to me the most is that whether you're playing ping pong or you're having a conversation with somebody or you're on the mound against the best teams in baseball, you expect to be great. Where does that come from inside of you? Where does that competitive, where do those juices flow from? Because not everybody really has that, but it appears to me you do.
To be honest, I'm not really sure where it comes from. I think that growing up with an older brother, we always had that sort of competition in the household. But beyond that, I think that that's just who I am. You know, I've always, and everything that I've done, I've always felt that way. If you're going to do something, be the best at it. And, you know, I've liked to do many things throughout my life, and I've always tried to be the best at everything. So I think that I found my sweet spot here with baseball. It's definitely not with ping pong, I'll tell you that much, but I'm going to keep trying.
So, Garrett, before we let you go, I have to let you take a victory lap a little bit. Your alma mater celebrated the College World Series championship, Tennessee, the other night, and you got the chance to see some of it during a rain delay. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Good program. Baseball school now.
Yeah, they've kind of been an all-sports school here lately. You know, the basketball team's been pretty good, but I'd like to say congrats to Tony Vitello and the staff. You know, what they did this year was remarkable. A lot of those players, you know, early on in their careers were kind of just starting to develop, and they really got a good staff over there. Coach Elander's been incredible at developing hitters. You know, Coach Anderson does the same thing for the pitchers, and they really put it all together. I think it was the first team in SEC history to get the 60 wins, so it was a really huge season for them. Couldn't be happier.
That's Garrett Crochet. He was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with Bruce Levine and David Haugh, and if you missed it earlier, and or if you're just joining us, just flip it on the radio looking for the Cub game. You will have Zach's pregame at 12:35. But this from Bob Nightingale of USA Today in today's newspaper, the White Sox quietly engaged in brief contract extension talks with Garrett Crochet, but with no optimism towards reaching an agreement. The White Sox intend to trade him by the July 30th deadline. Crochet addressed that talking to the guys yesterday. Apparently 15 teams have inquired about Crochet. He makes only $800,000 this year. He is under team control through 2026. So the rest of this year and the next two. That's a huge thing for big market contending teams to get a guy like Crochet under team control. And hence, Chris Getz is expecting a King's ransom. He is asking for it. He will likely get it. The key, and Nightingale references that, the White Sox and Crochet already have a firm plan in place to greatly limit his workload in the second half. It is quite possible that a team acquiring Crochet may have to offer a contract extension for him to lift those innings restrictions in the second half because of the potential injury risk. So lots of moving parts there. Lots of interesting possibilities there. For Garrett Crochet and for the Chicago White Sox. But that was Garrett on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. with Bruce and David. Let's make time here for one of our longtime callers and one of our guys, and we appreciate him checking in. Stan in Bellwood. Hey, Stan, you're on Hit and Run. How's it going?
Oh, it's going fine. How you doing today, Mike? I'm enjoying the show. You sound great.
Great. Thank you very much, Stan. Appreciate it. Everything's good.
All right. And I have two things that I wanted to run by you here. One about the Cubs and the other about the Garrett Crochet situation. As far as the Cubs, they've got a big problem here. And as stupid as it sounds, their best chance of making the playoffs, such as it is to concentrate on the Central and winning the division. Because if you're operating under the premise, as far as the wild card chase goes, and I am, that the Braves and the Padres are pretty much locked in here. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the Braves right now have a golden opportunity here. The Phillies are going to be playing the next couple weeks without both Schwarber and Bryce Harper in the lineup.
Right.
So they're still in the division race there, which, you know, if they did really get hot and overtook the Phillies would fall back into the wild card chase. So I think the top two spots in the National League for the wild card are pretty much locked in. So that just leaves you with that one last spot. And there's the Cubs are in eighth place there. I mean, they're only four back for that third spot, but there's 7 teams ahead of them. So they might as well be 24 games back, because all of those teams are not going to collapse. So I don't even consider the Cubs to be in the wild card chase. They need to figure out a way of getting back into the division hunt. So they got a big problem, and I think they're pretty much toast this year.
Yes, Dan.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, let me make my Cubs comment, and then I'll let you make your Crochet comment. I agree. I think you have four lock playoff teams in the National League: LA, San Diego, Philly, Atlanta. Those teams are the best teams in the league, if you're asking me, in the National League, for sure. I like the Brewers. They've done nice things, but I'm with you. I mean, and in theory, right, the Cubs as the big market team would be the team dominating in the Central. It has not worked out that way thus far.
And you're not, if you're in eighth place, you're not in the race.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They got work to do.
That's right. Okay, now, Garrett Crochet, in a perfect world, I would love to keep Garrett Crochet and not even consider trading him. But there are a couple of factors here that a lot of fans just, you know, are not facing. In the first place, we've been in this position before. The White Sox have already established a precedent. They've traded Chris Sale and Dylan Cease in the recent past. So I'm actually not afraid of trading Garrett Crochet. As a matter of fact, I have expected. I just hope that they get more than they got for Crochet than they got for Dylan Cease. I'm one of the few people, that call in about the White Sox that believes that they didn't get nearly enough for Dylan Cease. But I think they're going to trade him, because there's a going rate for top of the rotation starters that perform at the level that Garrett Crochet is performing this year, which is a price that Jerry Reinsdorf, he's already demonstrated, he will resist that like the plague. He'll throw himself in front of a speeding train rather than give a 5 or 6 year contract at about, you know, 20, 25 million per two. And at this point, Garrett Crochet would be a fool to sign for anything less. So I think I agree with you. I think the White Sox are going to trade Garrett Crochet, and we might as well plan for it. And I just hope that they get more than they get for Dylan Cease for him.
All right, Stan. Well, hey, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it as always. And I think you make some excellent points. And listen, to what Stan was just saying, the Nightingale piece says that the Sox are, Getz is asking for Earth, Sun, Moon, and Stars for Garrett Crochet. He's under control for this year, the rest of the rest of this year at 800K for the season. So whatever that is, 400K left on it for this year. And then the next two seasons. And, you know, the Nightingale piece also mentions that the team that acquires him possibly might have to extend him. However it works out, they have, whether they stumbled into it or not, I mean, you remember Crochet was a bullpen piece, and all of a sudden he was the opening day starter, and people were surprised. Whatever. It has worked out wonderfully for the White Sox, so this would be a haul, and we appreciate Stan, as always. Thank you for the call. We have one more segment left. We will get to some final things here, lineups, as we get ready for Cubs and Brewers here. Crochet is actually pitching against the Rockies for the White Sox. That game starts shortly as well. One more segment before Cubs baseball. This is Hit and Run. It's Espo in for Spiegs. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Hey, bada 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 bada, so we bada. Hey, bada 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 bada, so we bada. Kennedy, 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 so we bada.
On 670 The Score.
Movie line still done today. Many times. Hey, bada bada bada, so we bada. Last segment here on Hit and Run, Espo in for Spiegs, and we have a Cubs lineup for you, my friends, as the Cubs get ready to take on the Brewers. 12:35 for Zach's pregame, 1:10 for first pitch here on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network, the series finale, the rubber match. Kyle Hendricks and Freddy Peralta, so you've got a nice pitching matchup. Nico leading off playing second. Michael Busch will bat second playing first. Belly is your DH today. Seiya in right, Happ in left, Morel at third. Dansby at short. Pete Crow Armstrong will bat eighth again, playing in center. And your catcher for the Cubs today is Miguel Amaya. For Milwaukee, Terang, Contreras, Yelich, no surprise there. Adamas, Bowers, Reese Hoskins, Frelick, Churio, and Monasterio. So that is how the Cubs and Brewers will line up. The White Sox send Garrett Crochet, the subject of much of our show this morning, 6-6, but forget about the record, 130 strikeouts, 3.05 ERA. He will oppose Kyle Freeland for the Rockies. Freeland 0-3, 9.55 in the White Sox lineup. I won't bother giving you Colorado's because you won't know any of the players except Charlie Blackman anyway. So the White Sox lineup, Tommy Pham in right, Vaughn at first, Luis Robert in center. Eloy is your DH, DeJong at short, Jolks in left, Sosa, Mendick, and Martin Maldonado rounded out. The average check for Martin Maldonado, 0.085.
Tough. That's tough.
It's a tough one. He's above 83, which he was last time, which I enjoyed for score drop reasons, but at last check, he is currently, so we'll see how today plays out. Hey, a 1-for-3 day or a 1-for-4 day, he could propel him closer to 100. So that's something as we sit here on the last day of June here in the baseball season, almost half over. He is batting 085.
Yeah, man, that's tough. It's Bud Black's birthday, apparently. Maybe he can ruin Bud Black's birthday and maybe get above the Mendoza line.
There you go. Maybe Garrett Crochet can ruin Bud Black's birthday.
That one's probably more likely.
Yes, more likely. But you look at it, hey, and we talked to Ryan McGuffey earlier in the program, the Sox looking for their fourth straight win. That has not happened, I believe, this year. Or has it happened? No, maybe it has.
It has not.
Okay, well, there it is.
There
so
it
this
is,
would be the high watermark win streak for the Sox. If they could win today, that would be four in a row. And let's see if Garrett Crochet, hey, it's as good a chance to happen today with Garrett Crochet pitching as it ever is with anyone else on the staff. So we'll see if the Sox can get things done. This has been a ton of fun filling in for Spiegs here on Hit and Run. Lots of people to thank for the show today, most especially Sean Sears. Awesome job, as always, my friend. Thank you. Great job producing the show. I just mentioned Ryan McGuffey, our first guest from NBC Sports Chicago. We talked Sox with Guff. We talked Cubs with Alex Cohen, the play-by-play man from the Iowa Cubs. We talked Cubs and Brewers with Sparky Pfeiffer from 1250 The Fan up in Milwaukee. We talked to you. We appreciate your calls and your texts today. And we look forward to the series finale. Cubs and Brewers today coming right up. Zach's pregame right after this break at 12:35. Pat and Ron with the first pitch at 1:10 here in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. I'm Mike Esposito. It's been a pleasure talking baseball with you this morning and into this afternoon. Spiegs will be back next week. We appreciate the opportunity to sit in here. And again, Cubs Brewers coming up next. This has been Hit and Run here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.